This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. Stay ahead of all the big games in the best league in the world, the Premier League. With the latest odds, form guides, expert opinions and more, the fans are the players at Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at Ladbrokes.com. 18 plus, begambleaware.org. T's and C's apply.
This is a Game Day podcast from Talk Sport. Game Day, your verdict.
Well, it's been another great day of Premier League football on Game Day. Manchester City are now 7 points clear of third place Leicester after beating them 1-0. Chelsea consolidated fourth with a 2-1 win over Spurs, and VAR dominated the headlines again after Bournemouth had two goals disallowed in their 3-0 loss to Burnley. Here is the best of your reaction to the day's football on Your Verdict with me, Laura Woods, and Darren Benn, and the full-time phone-in with Adrian Durham and Matt Holland. This is the Game Day Your Verdict podcast. Right, let's get straight into it and head over to Stamford Bridge with Sam Atterface.
There's the full-time whistle. And Chelsea have done Jose with the old 1-2. They may have their problems. They just hardly ever have them against Tottenham. Three wins in a row against them. And now it's one victory in 34 visits to Stamford Bridge. And just as Spurs get within a point of the top four, they are struck with a Marcus Alonso and Olivier Giroud combination of blows, which knocks them to the floor and reasserts Chelsea's grip on a place in the top four. It's finished at Stamford Bridge. Chelsea 2, Tottenham 1.
The performance, according to our situation, was very good. And it's as simple as that.
When you say according to our situation, what do you mean?
Come on, do you want me to repeat every time the same? No. Chelsea plays with the world champion striker, has on the bench an England striker, has on the stands a Belgium national team striker. We have no strikers on the pitch, we have no strikers on the bench, we don't have even strikers on the stands. We have one in the hospital and one at home. So do you need me to tell anything more?
Does it identify to you, does it ram home to you, a performance like that and a result like that, that in the summer you will need to have backup, significant backup to Harry Kane?
Come on, the backup for Harry Kane was Sonny. And while Sonny was playing, even without Harry, we were in a very good run of results. And since the moment we lost Harry, we managed to play in a certain way, and we managed to arrive into a position where we were 1 point behind the fourth position. When we lost Sonny, of course we lost the option, and in the top of that we lose also the possibility to rotate players and to bring fresh players even to the wings where Sonny also can play. So you know that the situation is difficult. If you are going to ask me the same question until the end of the season, I'm going to be very repetitive.
Okay, in which case I'll ask you whether or not you still believe you can finish in the top four without those two players.
It's very, very difficult, but like the boys did today, we are going to fight until the end. Today we fought until the last second of the game, and in terms of the fourth, we are going to fight until mathematically is possible.
Defensively, you've had your problems too. One clean sheet away from home in the Premier League in 21 games.
Yeah, I know.
Is that another thing that needs to be sorted out?
Yeah, it is. But I think you know that I arrived 3 months ago and the team was not even getting a victory away of home for 1 year. So, not easy.
Let's speak to James, who's a Spurs fan. He's with us on the show. How are you doing, James?
Evening, gents. How are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad. I mean, Spurs 2-1 doesn't look too bad. I mean, obviously, you want to get a result and you've lost, but it actually was it was a bit more comfortable than that from Chelsea's point of view, wasn't it? What did you make of it?
Well, I'd say that shocking would be a compliment to Spurs. For the first time in my life, I've followed Spurs for 25 years, home, away, all Europe, left in 65 minutes.
You left after 65 minutes?
It was that bad.
Wow.
No fight, no determination, no one paying for the shirt, and a chairman that I believe has stitched us all up. We paid top money at the new stadium to go and watch. And we've got one of the most loyal fan bases, and we have had nothing in return. Nothing in return. And he's got away with it for years and years and years, not having a backup. And now it's really come to bite him, because I promise you, and it was the same with Leipzig on Wednesday night. We could have played that game till tomorrow. One of our own players would not have scored a goal. Our midfield. Yeah, sorry, go on.
No, I was going to say, in fairness, look, you're saying about the chairman not giving you any. You have spent money, and Ndombele wasn't cheap. Bergvine's come in. You've got an unbelievable new stadium. You see a lot of clubs build a new stadium and end up selling their best players. We saw it with Arsenal for a number of years. You know, it's not like he hasn't put money into the club.
No, but at the end of the day, it is a results business. The infrastructure is, as you rightly say, incredible. It's the best stadium in the world.
And training ground.
Yeah, but I would rather be at White Hart Lane and have kicked on from those two seasons where we challenged for the title. But we've gone so far backwards. Ndombele is not worth £63, let alone £63 million. He was shocking today. I mean, I'm no football expert, but your two central midfielders have to give your back four or five angles to play out from the back. The amount of times we went short and it went from Ben Davis on the left, out to Tanganga on the right, back again, and Ndombele was moping around. He spent more time on the floor. And Bergwijn just didn't stop running the whole game, but was never going to get the ball because the midfield was just non-existent. And, you know, Dele Alli is the only player we've got, attacking player with a bit of presence about him. He was on the bench. So I think he had every right to be upset that he got taken off the other night, because, yeah, he's a little bit flash and he tries to flick and the trick, but he always gives us an option. He has that moment of brilliance in him that can turn a game. And, you know, I think the only silver lining today was he's also again put in a great shift. And when Lamela came on, he looked double sharp. But it is the most frustrating thing in the world to watch the team that I love sitting back and inviting pressure when it would have been so easy to make other things happen. And I pray to God we signed Peter Crouch this week.
James, let me give you the Jose said. I mean, we'll probably hear a bit of Jose later, but let me just tell you, he was having a look at the TV schedule. They played Aston Villa on the Sunday, then they played Leipzig on the Wednesday, and now playing Chelsea in the early game today. So he wasn't happy with that, and he highlighted that in the press conference before the game and in the press conference after the game. So clearly not very happy with that at all. But he also said, this is the quote from him, James, we have zero strikers on the pitch, zero strikers on the bench, zero strikers in the stands. We have two strikers in the hospital. But he was also highlighting that Chelsea have got a Belgian international watching the game. They've got an England international who came on. I'm talking about strikers. Ooh. And they had a French World Cup winner who started the game. He's highlighting the difference between Chelsea's strikers and Spurs strikers and saying that's why they won the game. So you can't really have a pop at Jose, can you?
No, I'm a big fan of Jose. I mean, the negative setup compared to what we've been used to over the last 10 years has taken a bit of getting used to, but I like to win football matches, and that's why I again support my team. So the fact that we missed a goal at Villa last week is fine by me. You're right, it's like you keep saying, it's like having a gun with no bullets.
Do you trust his judgment on Troy Parrott?
Yeah, I do. I think that I genuinely believe he's in the top three coaches in the world. And I think that if he was ready, he'd be there. Even if he was 70% ready, he'd be there. But I think it's probably a physical thing. He's not a big lad, so I think he would probably get destroyed physically. I think talent-wise, there's no doubt he's got it there. Mick McCarthy saw that, and, you know, he's been spoken about, and we've seen him a couple of times. But, no, I have no gripes with Jose. my gripe is that he wasn't given what we were needed. My fear is that, you know, if we get Europa League next season, how many fans who have, you know, who spend good hard-earned money going to back someone where they don't feel we've got the same back. Yes, we've got the stadium, but, you know, we were so close and it has just gone so far backwards. And it's heartbreaking, but, you know, we'll all be there again next Sunday with Wolves. We'll all be there to watch Norwich, and we'll all be in Leipzig watching the game, praying that somehow we get a result.
Well, I think considering the situation with the injuries, a change of manager, everything that's gone on to be where you are and in with a chance of top four, let's see what happens with Tottenham Hotspur. I'd love to hear from other Spurs fans on that situation. Not acceptable today. I thought the setup from Mourinho was particularly negative. 08717223344. But maybe that was enforced by the fact that he had a lack of strikers. Hearing more on the situation at Southampton. Villa have denied that there was a bust up at all between Dean Smith and John Terry. So the reports look like they're certainly being denied. So basically that's the end of that then.
Yeah. Well, so, just on Troy Parrott, I mean, my argument is he hasn't really got anything to lose by giving him a go, if I'm honest.
Well, he's played for Ireland, hasn't he? He's played for the Ireland senior side. I think he set up a goal in that game as well. So
it's just, you know, I look back at some of the top strikers now. Marcus Rashford, he got his chance through injuries at United. Louis van Gaal threw him in. He got a couple of goals on debut against Arsenal. Harry Kane, do you think how did he get his chance at Spurs? He'd been out on loan here, there and everywhere. Hadn't done particularly well on loan at places. Injuries meant that the opportunity arose. He gets in the team and look what he's done. I think, you know, especially a kid coming through the youth team as well, you get a little bit more leeway with the support. And I don't think he's got anything to lose by playing Troy Parrott.
The only thing I would say there, Matt, is people do level at Mourinho that he doesn't give youth a chance. Straight away, he put Tanganga in the side, and he played him a lot. You know, he featured today.
I'm not saying it's because he's a young player. You know, that he's not giving him the chance. He obviously looks at him and sees him in training, and he obviously doesn't think he's ready to play at that level. But I'm just saying, I don't think he's got anything to lose. When you've got no strikers, you know, Kane's out, Son's out. You know, you're making do with players up front who aren't really strikers. He is a natural centre forward. That's, you know, that is his position. He knows the movements. He knows where to run. I just don't you know, I don't understand managers who say you've got a right back injured and you sort of looking around, you end up playing a centre half at right back rather than a kid out the U team or the reserves, the under 23s team, who's a natural right back. You know, Brandon Williams this season at left back for United. You know, they've got a few problems at left back. Brandon Williams comes into the team because he's a natural left back. Instead of putting a centre-half at right-back, things like that, why not go to your youth team, go to your under-23 squad and find a player who's a natural in that position? I just think it makes sense, in all honesty.
Yeah, when he's moaning about a lack of strikers and there is an international striker in his squad, it doesn't really make much sense. Let's go back to the VAR incident in that Chelsea-Spurs game. Tom is a Liverpool fan, is with us on the show. 08717223344. How are you doing, Tom?
Good evening.
You want to talk about the Lo Celso challenge that he stayed on the pitch for, yeah?
Yeah. So I'm not sure whether he's lucky or unlucky. It looks like they're both going to the same ball. It looks like his foot is coming down to do a drag back. And he does do a drag back on the guy's leg. Glenn Hoddle on the commentary thought that that's what he was trying to do. So it's a difficult one because at Stockley Park they said it was a mistake. But I thought, watching it at the time, that they'd actually made the right decision.
Okay. Matt, you're the ex-pro.
I told you. We did say there's going to be one person at least. I said it's a subjective decision, and people will think it's a red. People will think it wasn't a red card. Quite clearly, Tom doesn't think it was. I thought it was. My natural reaction, and certainly the majority, well, I think virtually everybody in the Sheffield United press room all looked at it and went red, and couldn't believe when nothing was done.
It looked like it was just a split second. Like he was trying to get down on top of the ball, to drag back and drag it away, and the ball just toe pokes away from underneath his foot.
I understand it looks worse in slow motion as well.
Yeah, definitely.
It does, Tom. I love that you've given another side to it. It's how you saw it, and certainly when the original VAR explanation, PGMOL explanation came out, they said it's because there was nowhere else for him to put his foot. I understand that, but when you actually, he has stamped on, not deliberately, he may not have done it deliberately, and he immediately went to the player, Lo Celso, and was, my God, you know, but it's still a red card. It is still serious foul play.
Tom, I'd like you to, I've been at Sheffield United, and I've seen one from John Lundstrom today on Lewis Dunk. When you watch that one, have a look at that one and see what you think of that one. I think that's a red card as well. I mean, it's a stamp as well.
Yeah, I've not seen that one. So,
well, we'll have a look. Tom, listen, thanks for the call. I love that there's another side to it. This is what it's all about, opinions on this show. Let's talk about Bournemouth, who lost 3-0 away at Burnley. A mate of mine, Steve, has posh, haven't got a game. He's a posh fan, so he was just sitting. And he says, taking in all the scores and the goals as they went in. He said, it's been confusing today. Bournemouth were winning 1-0, drawing 1-1 and lost 3-0. Steve Thorpe, thanks for that,
mate. And I've got Nick Pope in my fancy team and he's got a clean sheet and let two in. How's that happened?
Brilliant.
Let's go to James. He's a Spurs fan. James, lost at Stamford Bridge today. Where did it go wrong?
Hello?
Hello. Blimey,
hello.
Where are you, James?
I don't know where to start, really. I've been a Tottenham Hotspur supporter since I was 10 and I'm 60, so 50 years. I've had season tickets there for 25 years, 30 years. And I've never been so uninspired and depressed about a performance of a Tottenham team in the last two matches. And I really, really think, I know this is going to be an outrageous comment to make, I think if Jose Mourinho plays another game tactically like today, if I was Mr. Levy, I would get rid of him, because his demeanour and the way he's setting up the team, as Rio Ferdinand and Peter Crouch were very, very eloquent in the way they tactically explained what was going on, that Tottenham are basically saying, come and beat us. We're not even going to try. And Dele Alli's attitude was because he was so upset about the way that they were playing when he was substituted. He was the best player that they had, Tottenham, in the week against Leipzig. And I just think that this is an insult to Tottenham Hotspur and the way that they play. And it's not about the irony, Mourinho's there to win trophies, so we're going to win a bit dirty. That doesn't make any sense, because we're never going to win anything the way he's setting up the team. And he's already getting this sort of mentality of, everything is against Mourinho, the victim. And it's pathetic for 15 million quid a year, whatever they pay him. And if I was Mr. Levy, I'd give him one game and I'd get rid of him. Because he's going to ruin everything that Pochettino built. And you might as well just... It's sacrilege. It's a disgrace, quite frankly.
James, just playing devil's advocate. I mean, does he have much other options with no Kane and no Son? It feels like you're quite toothless.
Listen, of course, Kane, Song, Sissoko, who was the best player last season. You know, there's nobody driving the midfield. But there is, as I think Adrian said earlier, you know, we've got a guy called Parrott who's played for Ireland in an international. What has he got to lose by playing somebody like that who is a centre forward, even if he is a young kid? Because clearly these players don't even know what they're doing. They're scared to take the ball. There's nobody controlling the midfield. I mean, I don't know what Darren thinks. I mean, Darren played for Tottenham, and he must have Tottenham a bit in his blood. I mean, does he not? I mean, I know it's an outlandish thing to say get rid of Mourinho, but I really think that we should have gone for, and I know it's easy in hindsight, for Brendan Rodgers. That goes without saying. But I think Mourinho is just, he's going to demolish everything that Pochettino built. Now, I know it was bad for the last 6 months, but he is ruining Tottenham Hotspur, quite frankly, and the mentality of the players.
Do you know what? When you say, obviously, what Pochettino built, what he did was fantastic. I mean, they were obviously on a bit of a decline under Poch. I think he kind of ran out of ideas.
Yeah.
But he had nothing to show for it.
I mean, no, I understand that, Darren. You know, you're right. And I know that.
And I do understand what you're saying about Mourinho, but I think you've still got to give him time, because I think one thing he will do is produce. He will win a UA trophy. And I think when you've got someone of that quality and that reputation out there, I think Levy made the right appointment. I think you can't have Mourinho sitting there and just let him bypass you. I think it shows a real statement of intent.
But what you're saying about that Maurizio Pochettino has nothing to show from it, Mourinho's taking his team. He built that whole team. And if Mourinho does win something, it'll be with the majority of his players, no?
I understand that. I mean, Pochettino, yeah, as you said, that's his team. But at the same time, them under Poch the last few months of the season, they weren't good. His last part of his tenure, they were terrible.
I mean, Darren, we're Arsenal fans. We know that top four is a trophy, right? We know that.
No, but he
transformed that team into a top four team, which they haven't been for God knows how long.
And of course, I get that. But I mean, Harry, when he was at Spurs, he got them into the top four. Do you know what I mean? So Spurs fans have seen that before. But I just think with Mourinho, someone like that top four, yeah, he won't be worried about that, because ultimately it's about winning trophies, and that's what he's been brought into too.
Darren. Don't you think that by setting up your team like he did against Leipzig and today, that and by being so, you know, by being so deep in your defence, that you're basically saying to the other team, you know, come and attack us? And it's fine if you're Atletico Madrid, where you know, or you're Liverpool, where you've got players who could get you on the break. But it's not when you're Tottenham and you're just saying, listen, just come and get us.
Do you know what, though? Liverpool, I mean, you can't really count Liverpool, because you look what
they've got. No, I know. But Darren, the last 20 minutes against Leipzig, when things were changed in 11, we were all right the last 20 minutes. At least we made an effort. But against Chelsea, you could just see, you knew that we were going to lose. There was no chance that we were going to win that game. And it's as if we're just saying, you know, against the good teams in the league, we know we're not going to win. And Mourinho has got this attitude that he had at Manchester United, you know, and I don't know what it is with him. It seems such a shame.
I think he came
there with such good intent, and I was quite happy to begin with. But I think that Mr. Levy should take a view, and it will cost him a lot of money to get rid of him. But I think this is a huge mistake. I really do.
I can't see Levy, obviously, getting rid of
him. He won't. No, that won't happen.
But
no,
I think
way.
At the same time as well, Mourinho can only work with what he's got. And at the minute, a lot of them players, they look like they're low on confidence. They're not quite sure whether they're coming or going. I think Mourinho's got a way of setting up his teams. But, you know what I mean? Spurs are very good in a counter-attack when they've got Kane up there and Son, and they're all in tandem. But I think at the minute, when there's no real goal for it, because two of their biggest players are out, and obviously the way Mourinho wants to play, he's not got the players to sit defensively in the way he wants. So I think you've got to give him time to get the players in he wants, and then maybe players will start buying into his system.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. There's a lot more to those 90 minutes than what goes down on the pitch. With the latest odds, form guides and expert opinions, you'll know the score with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org. T's and C's apply.
Game day. Your verdict on Talk Sport.
And that is it. Manchester City now have a firm grip on second place in the Premier League. 7 points clear of Leicester, despite the missed penalty from Sergio Aguero. The man who came on to replace him, Gabriel Jesus, conjured up a winner 10 minutes before the end. And Leicester's brave challenge to head into the top two looks to be coming to an end. Full time at the King Power Stadium. Leicester City 0, Manchester City 1.
Pep, a win in the end, but a game you had to be patient in.
Yeah, I would like to win 0-4 in after 10 minutes, but normally it doesn't happen, especially. The teams have shown this season what we are. Incredible, solid, good keeper, solid back with the incredible fullbacks and central defenders. And after the people up front and the quality in the middle with Maddison, they had the two big blow injuries or you know, with Ndidi and send off the other one. So, but we suffered the first action, the counter-attack. You know, with Bardi, always you concede. We were lucky. But except the last 10 minutes, the first half, the rest of the game, we were in an incredible top level.
But a great substitution by yourself in the second half. Jesus came on. Mahrez did the magic.
Yeah, I'm a genius. Yeah. Like the substitution, I score a goal, and I am good. If you don't score, I'm a disaster. So all the managers take a decision to, in that moment, you feel, okay, you have to do it in that zone. So that's all. That is the. I'm happy. Especially happy for Gabriel because the chances he missed against West Ham is because he didn't shoot. So you cannot miss if you shoot. And he had three chances, except the third one. But the first two that he not even shoot. And today he shoot. And after the keeper save or you were out, it's okay. It's part of the job. But you cannot do it if you don't try it. And he before tried with the left and the right, and he did. And Gabriel has this incredible ability to be positive and a mentality, play 5 minutes, play like the last 5 minutes in his life, and that is good.
Sergio had a penalty. You missed that one. Seems to be a bit of a problem this season. Is it a concern that you're missing too many penalties?
Well, yeah. So in this kind of stages, in this level, so this opportunity had to score. 4 in a row missing, it's... We are not satisfied. I said to them, so next one we're going to score, maybe in the right moment we're going to score. It's just the guy, all I ask you is, I'm going to take a penalty, be sure I'm going to score a goal. So take one decision, go, shoot, and score a goal. As simple as that. So, but the keepers are good, and sometimes you miss it. Maybe when we need it, we're going to score.
I know you don't like to talk about VAR, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Leicester felt hard done by a couple of opportunities for a penalty in the first half. You had one in the second. Anything you'd like to say?
No.
There you go. That was Pep Guardiola speaking after his 1-0 win at the King Belted against Leicester City. Was it a good save or was it a bad penalty?
It was an awful penalty. Mm. But as I said, you can play with your mind, I'm telling you. When you know that a goalkeeper is very good at making saves, you put that seed of doubt in you. But especially when you've missed a couple yourself, like Aguero has done, I mean, it doesn't matter how great a player you are. You look at someone like Lionel Messi. Lionel Messi.
Who does he play for?
Arguably the greatest player ever. He's not the best at penalties. He misses them. But I just think sometimes when you put the ball down, you walk back. If I knew that a goalkeeper was good and he'd save penalties before, I try not to look at him. I try to look down at the ball and just focus on where I'm going to put the ball in the goal.
So who from Manchester City's team should be the designated penalty taker?
Well, I guess it depends who's confident. I mean, listen, I've played in teams where everyone takes penalties in training. They're all brilliant at it. It comes to, obviously, it's a different kind of pressure when you take it in front of 50, 60,000 people. So I guess it's whoever's confident with it. I'd stick with that one person. I don't like all this chopping and changing, though. I think if you're the designated penalty taker, if you're on that pitch, you take the penalty. Even if you've come on to the pitch as a substitute and you're cold and it's 2 minutes in, take the penalty.
Pep said that Edison is the best penalty taker out of the whole squad. So City fans, we were sort of joking earlier on, but who do you think should take your penalty? Should it be Edison? We don't think it should be necessarily.
Listen, if he's the best and he's going to score, then there's no issue there.
Chance of a rebound or a save or anything. Well, why worry?
That how hard he can kick that ball. Listen, if he misses, it's going to just fly off. So I just think if he's the best penalty taker and genuinely they can come up with a plan where you're not going to get sucker punched at the other end, then why not?
Let's go to Paul. He is a Leicester fan. He's given us a buzz. Hello, Paul.
Hello, good evening, Darren. Good evening, Laura.
Good evening. Disappointing game for
ironic.
You.
I'm just going out the car, having been to the game, and I'm about to ring up so you could fill the bits in. Yeah, the paying fan has to ring up people to try and fill the bits in.
What do you mean, fill the bits in? What, just that. Give you an idea of what happened?
Yeah, really. Things on that. Obviously, Brendan just said that, but can you fill me in on the Edison into Inacio? He's punched him in his throat.
Yeah. Well, basically, we were looking at this and we were both in the studio and he got part of the ball. So even though it was a 50-50, so even though it looks awful, when you watch the replays, it is a bad collision. But ultimately, Darren, I mean...
I mean, because straight away I said, oh my God, it's a penalty. And it could even be a red card, but luckily for himself, he gets something on the ball. Just before
he had to corner the referee. I couldn't stand the goalkeeper. He's going to corner, but nothing. And I don't want to act like Southie. Man City are a great side, but we would worthy of a point tonight. But a couple of observations. But it's like with DRS, Darren, Laura. It's been like with DRS. Man City on their penalty. They said at the start of the season, they said a lot of things. They won't have players and rang in the referee, like the 90s, Roy Keane and that, and Man U. And as soon as they went that, he had 10 players round him. The referee to look at it. And I'm thinking, and it's your. I don't want to think it, but isn't that giving some influence, like peer pressure, 100 yards, 100 miles away in Stockley Park? to have a proper look at it. And on ours, we didn't. The Bruyne one, we didn't around the referee. And I'm thinking, oh, that's not this, almost like, because they've seen it, they can appeal it, you know, all 10 of it. I don't know. I don't want to think that, but we said they wouldn't have that.
You know what, though?
Around the referee.
When we had Mark on earlier, he made a great point, because he said they're either both penalties or they're not penalties.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. Look, Paul, I sort of, it's not necessarily the haranguing the referee. I mean, I don't like to see that either. But for me, the frustrating, I'm on your side, actually, for Leicester to not have a penalty with Kevin De Bruyne. And people are saying, look, it wasn't a penalty. His arms can be like that. He's protecting his face. But surely, I mean, we're looking at the rules. You know, his arms were up.
Do you know what? It didn't come up in purple. In purple. You know what, Mark, you said, great point. If they're saying he's protecting his face and all that, if that comes up, in purple, no penalty. I can accept that, but it's almost the arrogance. The guy's looking there. Well, that's a law. He's protecting his face, so we're aiming and look at it. Mm. But they are looking at it because they have to, and they've not even looked at it. No. You know, it's like
they didn't. That's the thing they didn't look at it.
How can one, like I say, one guy do an hour and a half of refereeing, have a break, then do another hour and a half? The mental fatigue, I thought. But listen, it's not sour grapes, but you just sometimes. And you know what? Does my head end? The stadium announcer has to say VAR complete at the end of each one. Is that a paradox? VAR is incomplete, isn't it?
All right, Paul. Thank you very much for your call.
Take care. Bye.
I just feel if you're a Leicester fan and you're walking away from that game tonight, I think you've got a reason to feel disappointed. I really do. I think there's certain things in that game that you should feel let down by.
They've been stung a few times in Leicester already this season with that VAR. And handballs as well, by the way.
Yeah, and Dean Ashton was making good points after the game. He said, yeah, of course. Like, City had the quality where Leicester didn't for much of the game, but those are big decisions and you know how much they can turn a game. If they'd have gone 1-0 ahead, for example, at that particular moment in the first half, you don't know what that can do for a player's confidence, do you?
But you know, listen, we know City defensively are not the strongest. I mean, Fernandinho played back there, did well today once they got to grips with it. But you're right, if Leicester go 1-0 up, that means Manchester City are going to have to push forward more, which leaves space all over the place for Vardy and Maddison and obviously Barnes when he come on. So the outcome of the game might have been different because Leicester on the counter-attack are a very, very fast team, very good team. So you're right, you just don't know what the outcome could have been.
Game day, your verdict on Talk Sport.
Dean Smith, the Villa manager, spoke afterwards with TalkSport's Alex Crook.
Dean, you look thoroughly frustrated both at half-time and at the end of the game. Is it fair to say that some home truths have been dished out in the dressing room?
Yeah, they have, but, you know, it's not the first time that's the worrying thing this season. You know, the last three away games in the Premier League, we've gone to Brighton, Bournemouth and now Southampton, all on the South Coast, and our first 45 minutes in all them games have been poor. It's all right talking the talk and saying, yeah, we're going to start well, we're going to do this, that. But they haven't shown that today, and I have to take responsibility for that.
How can you legislate for starting so poorly? Because you prepare your team in the right way all week, you work on tactics, and then it really goes out the window, as you say, for that first half.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you've got personal pride in your performance first and foremost, and, you know, they've got to drive that from within, and, you know, they've got to take responsibility themselves as well sometimes. But, you know, I'm the head of it, and I'll take the brunt of it.
In some ways, will the cup final be a nice distraction next week, or are you fearing the worst because, of course, you're up against Manchester City?
No, not really. I mean, this was a cup final for us. I've said earlier, we've got 14 cup finals now, 13. Now we've got 12 left, you know, and we didn't turn up today in this cup final, and that's a massive disappointment.
You can't afford to start like that at Wembley, can you?
Can't afford to start like that any time you play in the Premier League, you know, and today we got punished for it.
Quiet afternoon for Jack Grealish as well. Was that because he was well shackled by Southampton or a rare off day?
Well, he got whacked in the first minute and done nothing about it, did they? So, you know, he probably wasn't his scintillating best, but, you know, he's a quality player, we know that.
Obviously, El Ghazi hobbled off in the first half. Anything that would worry you for Wembley with him, or is he going to be okay?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I think he got a whack on the head, and I've not spoken to the medical staff at all.
You said there that some players have played their way out of contention for the cup final. Are you planning wholesale changes?
I'm planning changes because we didn't play well enough today and didn't show enough fight or heart in going and getting a performance and, you know, dragging a team that I believe that we could be better than. And, you know, it's all about going and keeping hold of the shirt when you've got it, and we haven't had enough players do that today.
Just finally for me, is that Southampton out of the equation as far as you're concerned, 10 points above the relegation places?
It's a big win for them, you know. I think it puts them 9 points ahead of us, and, you know, with a better goal difference than us, and, you know, but, you know, we need to go on a run, we know that. We need to go and win games. This should have been a game that we were capable of winning, but we haven't showed up today.
Yeah, it's Dean Smith's reaction. Let's speak to I'm Adrian Durham at Sellers Park, Matt Hollands at Bramall Lane. But Paul, the Villa fan, wants to talk to us about Villa's current plight. How you doing, Paul?
How's it going, mate? You all right?
I'm okay. First of all, let's remember you've got a Wembley Cup final next Sunday to look forward to, so it ain't all bad, is it?
No. Well, I'm looking forward to it. It'll be a great day. I've been there the last couple of years. Partake with Fulham, but then the promotion against Derby, so it's brilliant. But tactically, I just think Dean Smith is gone. He's lost it. He's not tactically up for the Premier League. There's far too many times he's getting done by managers each game, and he can't change the way he plays. He waits far too long from the start of the season all the way up till Christmas time without changing formation, changing players, changing tactics. I'm not surprised John Terry's gone face-to-face for him today. I think there'll be 2,000 Villa fans waiting to do the same, to be honest.
Well, listen, that's been denied by Aston Villa. But nobody can be happy. I mean, if you're OK and everything's comfortable and they're having pleasant conversations among the Villa coaching staff, then I think there's a problem. They should be, Paul, looking at each other and asking questions. I mean, is it about a lack of defensive midfielder or good enough defensive midfielder? Because I've got a lot of tweets from Villa fans and from other fans as well saying, hang on a minute, England's Tyrone Mings is a Villa centre-back. How can they have conceded 52 goals this season?
It's not just about the back. We're clearly not good enough in midfield. We should have splashed the cash in the summer and gone for players like Calvin Phillips, Barama, to improve a team. We spent £120 million on 12 players, average £10 million a player. £10 million a player is not good enough for the Premier League. Not at all. And as for El Ghazi today, El Ghazi gets flicked in the face, does 20 rolled over, and then goes off just because he wasn't going his way. He's done that before. These players are not showing no heart, fight. They can't even pass a ball at the minute. It's absolutely shocking.
Yeah, he went off after 28. Let me ask you a question. I mean, to wait as long as you did to come back up, you know, the number of years that you had to wait, a few years you had to wait, you come back up. If you went back down again, it would be devastating for the club, not least because Jack Grealish will probably go.
100%, and not one Villa fan will blame him for going. He's unbelievable. I love watching him play. He's obviously my favourite player, but we're going to lose him because I think without this 3 points today, I think it was a massive, massive game, and without getting the 3 points today, I just think that's us now. I can't see us with the fixtures we got left making anywhere near 40 points for the way we're playing and the players we've got, bringing in Drinkwater, who hasn't played football all season, and we bring him in. And it's not a player that's going to improve the side. We needed improvements in January. I know it's tough to get players in, but it's not good enough. They're not good enough.
Matt, what do you reckon?
Well, I think there's been too big a reliance on Jack Grealish. I think obviously Wesley picked up an injury, which was a blow to them. But Jack Grealish has almost single-handedly given them half a chance of staying up. Now, unfortunately, I think that regardless of what division Aston Villa are in next season, Grealish will be gone because I think he's been that good this season that I think there'll be a number of clubs who will be desperate for him and will sort of bid heavily for him in the summer. So I think Grealish will be gone in the summer. Defensively, it's been terrible. The only team in the Premier League without a clean sheet away from home. That tells its own story. I know they've got the worst goals against record as well. So defensively, they've been all over the place. I don't think they are anywhere near strong enough in midfield. I'm a bit surprised that Conor Hourihan hasn't played more.
I was just going to ask that. He started one game in the last seven. He's their second top scorer.
And do you know what? He and Jack Grealish get on well and combine well together as well. I think you feel like they're on the same wavelength as well. So I'm amazed that he hasn't played more, particularly when I think the middle of the pitch is an area where they are pretty weak as well. So they're in big trouble. I think that at the moment you can't see any way for them to stay up. It's only Grealish that has given them any hope of staying in the Premier League next season.
And Matt, the tweets I've had, Paul, thanks for the call. The tweets I've had, there's a lot of focus on Mings. It's mainly from fans of other clubs who do have a centre-back they think should be in the England squad. Wolves fans, for example, Nuno's Army has tweeted me saying Mings is in the England squad, Cody isn't. You know, kind of go figure sort of thing. You know, and I can understand why fans think that, because when you're part of a defence that's conceded 52 goals, That's an extraordinary amount at this stage of the season, really. And then,
yeah.
I mean, and when you think, you know, Southampton have had a 9-0 defeat. Watford have had an 8-0 defeat. Newcastle were done 5-0 at Leicester. You know, Villa, yeah, they've had a 6-1 from Man City at home. But 52 goals is extraordinary.
Yeah, it is. And John Terry's there as well. You'd think with his influence that, you know, that he'd be able to impart some of that onto the back four. Tyro Mings, there is a mistake in him. I think at times he plays too deep as well. When I watch him play, I think he drops off too much, and I think he leaves plenty of space for the opposition. He plays back towards his own goal rather than coming onto things, if that makes any sense to you. So I don't know. Look, he's part of it. He's part of a defence that's struggled. He's not the only one. You couldn't single him out and say he's the only reason why they've conceded as many goals as they have. Goalkeeper as well. You know, Heaton being out, that's a problem for them. You can't say it's just Tyrone Mings's fault that they've conceded that many goals, but he's part of a problem.
Vernon is an Aston Villa fan. Vernon, welcome to the show. Testing times of Villa at the moment, huh?
Just a bit, Laura. Mm. Just a little bit. Another away day horror show against, you know, what you would consider to be beatable opponents. We've given them 6 points this season. We've given Bournemouth 6 points as well at the end of the season. I think when we look back at the season, that's where the problems have come. I'm a big fan of Dean Smith. I don't want to see him thrown under the bus. That's just, you know, quite a phrase. But I just don't understand. Here we are many months into the season and we still can't defend. Mm. If you can't defend, you can't win games.
Well, we said that earlier. You're not the most prolific team as well. But when you've conceded 52 goals in the Premier League, which is more than any other team, it's a recipe for disaster. As I said, you've got to find a way of... Maybe, and as I said, the fans might hate watching it and it's probably going to be awful to watch, but you need to be more resolute. And as I said, mm-hmm. if you get everyone behind the ball and you just defend, you've got to start somewhere.
He did change it up a little bit though, didn't he? Because he was four at the back for a while, then he went three at the back. And I just struggled because for Dean Smith, I can't look beyond the fact that he's had so many injuries to contend with, and I think that's a massive problem for Villa at the moment. I know what you're saying, Vernon, but if the quality isn't on the pitch... throughout the entire pitch, then how are you going to win games? They can't score
goals. Well, you have to win ugly, Laura. You have to win ugly, and playing three up front when you're struggling just isn't part of the equation. You know, if need be, we go 3-5-2, we have a striker up front, and we get Jack into the area that he needs to be. I don't understand where we've got a player who can cause trouble to most teams. He's playing deep and left. Just struggle with it. Really struggle with it. Don't want to criticise the manager. We've achieved a lot in a year. But having got here now, it would be a pity just to throw it away. And actually, I think with a little bit of tweaking, but Dean doesn't do it. Dean plays football one way. And unfortunately, that way is going to get us relegated at the moment.
When you think about the Cup final, the Carabao Cup final, which is next Sunday against Manchester City... I mean, most teams would be looking forward to a cup final at Wembley. They'd be so excited about it. How are you feeling about it?
For me, like anything else, it's, you know, it's great. It's a great day out for the fans because the fans have been magnificent all season. But I think ultimately, if Dean doesn't learn, it could be double figures. Mm. You know, last time they sang and we never even got out of first gear. And, you know, I just worry the fact that Dean Smith plays football one way, which is very... easy on the eye.
Offensive, yeah.
But ultimately, you've got to win games. And that, you know, it's a performance business. And at the moment, he's not doing his job to the best of his ability. He needs to wake up and smell the coffee and start playing to win games. And if it means playing ugly, then so be it. That's what I do.
I think Vernon's kind of hit the nail on the head. That's what I was saying to you there about setting up a way, as it might not be attractive to watch, but you've got to give yourself the fundamentals and the foundation to build off. So that's what I said. Even if you defend.
Darren, you know how good Jack Grealish is, and Laura does. You've interviewed him. He's worldly. He's so good, so much better than anybody else in the team. And on his own, he can win a game. And I just don't understand why we just don't build the whole team around him.
Do you know what, though? I don't think you can just win a game with Jack, because I think Jack is that good. But defensively, as I said there, you've conceded 52 goals, which is the most in the league. Yeah. So Jack can be as good as he's been, he's still conceding goals.
When they played against Spurs, Jack was doing a lot of defensive work. Jack, you can't... I mean, he's stretched enough, isn't he?
He shouldn't be doing that. It's not his forte. And ultimately, Jack Grealish defending we're not going to win the game. And for me, I'm saying take away someone from up front, an El Ghazi or something, that went off. I think he got a little twig in his eye today, so he twindled off up the stairs. Ultimately, I believe have a number nine, Samata. You know, your commentator had a good attempt at the name.
Oh,
that's low.
Vernon, I mean, we're having a go at Vernon there, but we just played that clip three times.
Somebody, haven't I?
You absolutely do. It's all Reshman's fault. Sorry, Resh. Can I just ask, I mean, Vernon, it sounds like it's all doom and gloom, but, and Dean Smith, maybe you're saying like he's not changing it up enough and he's not reacting to these losses, but you are in a cup final. There's only two teams in that cup final, and it's you and Manchester City, so he must be doing something right.
Yeah, but ultimately, Laura, you've got to go to win the cup final, and that's my worry. You know, Dean Smith will turn up one particular way to play. And I think if he turns up that way, it's pointless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to have probably 40,000 Villa fans who are going to be singing their heart out for 90 minutes. He's a Villa fan. He understands the game is about winning. I don't want any more plaudits. They play nice football. It's easy on the eye. I want to win, Laura.
Do you know what, yeah. Vernon? Right, I think Dean Smith, and he's a good enough manager, he's a good manager, that he knows that he can't go into this game playing the same way they're playing, because Manchester City are one team that will open you up time after time. They're relentless, Manchester City, and we've seen it before in cup finals against Watford, where they don't matter if they get 1, 2, 3, 4, they will keep going to try and get 5, 6, 7. So I think Dean Smith will be aware of that, and we'll have to set up a way where he's going to say, you know what, we know we can't go toe-to-toe with Manchester City, it's impossible, so we might have to sit back, you know, soak up a little bit of pressure and try and hit him on the counter-attack, because if he goes out there and plays the way that, you know, this expansive football where they try and play out from the back and stuff, Manchester City are a very, very good pressing team as well, and they will just keep opening you up time and time again, so he knows he can't play the same way.
All right, Van, thank you so much for your call. Hopefully things will look up for you, and don't be too down, and good luck for next weekend as well. Did you guys cut him off? You are so heartless.
Hey, weekly that happens, you know.
I can't believe they do that. Every time we wrap it up, they're like, we're bored of him now, fade him down. Vernon, if you're still listening, that wasn't our decision. Good luck for next weekend, and fingers crossed you can pull something out of the bag. Look, I'm not being cliched, I don't think, or romantic, but we've seen Villa pull up big performances. Nobody thought they'd get past Leicester across two legs, and they did. Not saying they're definitely going to go in and beat Manchester City. I just say, look, Wembley, anything can happen, right, in a cup final?
Of course, Wigan did it.
Exactly. But and then got relegated.
Yeah, why have you put the hoax on them now?
No. Wait, touch wood, quick.
No, but you know what? Like,
where's Jake?
At the end of the day, it is a cup final, and they're in it. Obviously, they've done well to get there. They play Manchester City, though. And what I said, we know about Manchester City, though, that they're relentless, they're ruthless. They're not. It happened against Wigan, I get that. But at the same time, Dean Smith plays away, which is attractive, it looks good. But he cannot go toe-to-toe with Manchester City playing this way, because they will get opened up time and time again, and he'll know this.
Game day, your verdict on Talk Sport.
Been taking a lot of calls on VAR. Wayne is a Liverpool fan, wants to talk about video assistant referees. Hiya, Wayne.
Hi, guys. How are you doing, right?
Yeah, it's been an extraordinary day, really, VAR-wise. What do you make of it?
For me, it's just been quite comical. I can't believe the decision tonight with Kevin De Bruyne with the free kick was unbelievable. If your hand's been like from an unnatural position, crossing hands and things like that. You know, I've seen players in many a game where they have to cover their privates, or they put a hand over their mouth because of their nice white teeth or whatever. But I've never ever seen to that degree where a hand actually came up from that position and from not even, did check it and then go, it's fine, we'll just leave it. So I don't understand why stop the part, don't go back to the ref and say, do you know what, we've had a look at this image. I know the football's still playing at this point, but they can say in his ear, we've had a look at this image and we are undeterred. Can you have a look at your monitor, or can you go to the monitor, or can you check this footage to see what's happening? And I don't understand why there's no ref that goes to the monitor to check it. And that's what baffles me. Because earlier today, the Burnley and Bournemouth game, there was a goal that was disallowed for Bournemouth with a handball from Smith in the box, but it came from a corner. Now, he's had plenty of time. Now, I understand it's a handball, but that traveller play went up the park and they've had the time to go and check it. Again, VAR decided to say, we've checked the goal, it's fine, but before that, there's a penalty, we're going back for a penalty, and the ref doesn't check the monitor, and he's the man on the park. Just have a look at it. In Germany, Borussia Mönchengladbach were playing Hertha Berlin, and at that moment in time, Borussia went up 2-0, and the referee was told by VAR that there's been a handball in play. He then signalled a square to the fans and went to the monitor to check it.
Simple.
And had a look at it and then went, well, that's disallowed. I'll take the ball back. So I'm getting infuriated why the onus isn't going to be on the ref. It has to be about that caravan somewhere else in the country to say, by the way, we're saying that's a penalty, right? We'll give a penalty.
You put it so... I mean, listen, there's no arguing with what you're saying, Wayne. I think they've overthought it. I think they've decided, they've sat around the table and said, what can we do to implement VAR in the Premier League? And they've come up with this. I'll tell you what would be a good idea. If we don't go to the monitors, that'll save time. Well, it's a disastrous policy. A disastrous policy. And let's not kid ourselves, Wayne. You know, I don't think it's completely perfect in Germany. I think that I hate VAR. I won't hide that. I think it's just taking far too much away from the game, from the paying supporter. But I do accept that, you know, it is here and it's probably here to stay. And there might even be more people that want it than don't want it. I may be wrong on that. But, you know, at least give it a chance to work properly. I mean, to have a policy of... They've got referee review areas. That's what they're called. The screen at the side, monitor at the side. Mm-hmm. To have a policy of not of having them but not using them... It's utterly bizarre, isn't it?
Well, the thing that is beyond me is, like, we've seen the earlier football games back in the Premiership to start with. As you said, I'm a Liverpool fan. Liverpool played Man City at Anfield, and it was a controversial decision where Bernardo Silva hit the ball in. OK, it might have took a wee deflection, but Andrew Robertson's hand, or sorry, Trent Alexander-Arnold's hand is out of a silhouette position, as our referees are saying, like, this whole silhouette nonsense, that it hits his hand, and it stops, and then the ball breaks up the park, and Fabinho scores, and it makes it 1-0. Now, for me, that's a penalty. I would say, well, I can argue with that. I'm going, oh, you know, what can I do? You know, it's just one of those things. But there's nothing gets checked from a referee to get pulled back. Everything has to come from Stockley Park. Now, for me tonight, there shouldn't be a ref on the park tonight. They should just put two teams out and have a big horn or a big footer to go, right, we're going to go, ha, right, let's go straight back now, bring it back.
Wayne, I tell you what, Wayne, we've run out of time, mate, but if we had a caller of the day, you would definitely be it. Wayne, thanks for the call. Absolutely fantastic. Back to the VAR incident in that Chelsea-Spurs game. Tom is a Liverpool fan. He's with us on the show. 08717223344. How are you doing, Tom?
Good evening.
You want to talk about the Lo Celso challenge that he stayed on the pitch for, yeah?
Yeah. So, I'm not sure whether he's lucky or unlucky. It looked like... they both go into the same door. It looks like his foot is coming down to do a drag back. And he does do a drag back on the guy's leg. Glenn Hoddle on the commentary thought that that's what he was trying to do. So it's a difficult one because at Stockley Park they said it was a mistake. But I thought watching it at the time that they'd actually made the right decision.
Okay, Matt, you're the ex-pro.
There you go.
Talk to me.
I told you. We did say there's going to be one person at least. I said it's a subjective decision, and people will think it's a red. People will think it wasn't a red card. Quite clearly, Tom doesn't think it was. I thought it was. My natural reaction, and certainly the majority, I think virtually everybody in the Sheffield United press room all looked at it and went red, and couldn't believe when nothing was done.
It looked like it was just a split second. Like, he was trying to get down on top of the ball to drag back and drag it away. And the ball just gets poked away from underneath his foot.
I understand it looks worse in slow motion as well.
Yeah, definitely.
It does. Tom, I love that you've given another side to it. It's how you saw it. And certainly when the original VAR explanation, PGMOL explanation came out, they said it's because there was nowhere else for him to put his foot. And I understand that, but when you actually, he has stamped on, not deliberately, he may not have done it deliberately, and he immediately went to the player, Lo Celso, and was, oh my God, you know, but it's still a red card. It is still serious foul play.
Tom, I've been at Sheffield United, and I've seen one from John Lundstram today on Lewis Dunk. When you watch that one, have a look at that one and see what you think of that one. I think that's a red card as well. I mean, it's a stamp as well.
Game day. The biggest football league in the world.
Game day. Your verdict on Talk Sport.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes.
The latest odds? We set them. Form guides? We've got them. Expert opinions? We share them. The best fans in the world deserve the best. Be match day ready before the whistle blows with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org. T's and C's apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.